Okay.
Today is
Good
Yosef's
evening.
Birthday Luazi, not Ivri.
Okay, Mazel Tov Luazi.
Shivim.
Oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Gvurot. Okay.
Okay.
V'haya ki tavo el haaretz, when you come to the land, takes from both sides. V'haya ki tavo el
haaretz, when you come to the land.
To the land. That God gave you, ונחלה, וירשת וישבת בה, ולקחת מראשית כל פרי אדמה. You should bring the first fruit to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, this mitzvah is a very interesting mitzvah. Why is it interesting? First of all, from a very simple reason, that the Torah is not a story.
No.
It's things to learn in order to practice in our life, in the daily life. Now, Bikurim today, there is no temple, so there is no Bikurim. And still, we have to understand what it's all about. What is the Torah trying to teach us? So what's the idea behind the Bikurim? It says, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. Says the Shlach HaKadosh, written there, Bereshit, en reshit el ha-Bikurim. So Bikurim is connected to the creation of the world. This sounds unbelievable. In the Midrash Tanchuma it's written that Moshe Rabbeinu put the tefillot because at the time that there wouldn't be any temple, the widow prays instead of the Bikurim. What's the connection between the Bikurim and praying? What is the connection? The connection is very interesting. What's Bikurim? A guy goes on the field. Today we don't even understand it because we are not chaklaim. We don't work in a farm. We go to the makolet and we buy everything we need, to the grocery shop. But somebody works in this. And in other places, also not Jews are working, it's the Arabs or they bring Romania, Philippines, whatever. But what is the idea? The idea is that you put a seed in earth and you grow it. You have to treat it, to nature it, to put water, to cut it. And then after at least a few years, you can maybe see the first fruit. Now what would be the first thought that goes through your mind when you see the first fruit? What would you want to do? After working on it for quite a few years, and Baruch Hashem, here is the first fruit. What do?
I think Hashem.
You are a tzaddik. I didn't ask you as a tzaddik. I asked you as a normal guy.
You want to take out.
You want to take it for yourself.
To try.
You want to taste.
To taste.
I worked on it. I want to see what it is. But that's exactly what you say. It's the idea of Bikurim. You don't do it. You keep this for the Kodesh Baruch. And to understand the idea behind it, we say the basic of everything is v'ahavta l'raacha kamocha, love. Now, how do you show love? Imagine just you bring your kid the sweets that he loves. He really loves them. You're bringing the packet of sweets, and what is the kid doing? Takes the first sweet and says, Saba. Levakasha. Abba, Ima, Levakasha. What's your feeling now?
Yeah.
What feeling is feeling you now? Love.
Of course.
And that's exactly the idea. We are the children of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if we come to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and give him the first thing, this is showing our greatest love. In other words, this is a very important mitzvah. Now, what is the connection with praying? Praying is also you pray to God and you don't really know what's the effect of your prayers, because let's say you ask something but you don't see it happening right now. So you have to understand it's the same story as putting a seed. When you look at the seed now, you put it in earth, you cover it, you put water on it, And after 2 weeks you come to look. What do you see? Maybe.
Maybe.
And maybe nothing. Because you didn't even get out yet. So you can tell yourself, what's happening? Nothing. Whatever I did, it's not working. The same way is with the tefillah. You pray to God. And then, nothing is happening. So you think to yourself, nothing will happen. When you think like this, think about the seed. Because you know that this seed, if you treat him right, what's going to happen? It's going to grow to be a beautiful tree with fruits. And the same way is when you pray. When you pray to God, and you pray really with all the kavanot, with all your heart, even if you don't see right now the result, be sure that it's going up. The same way as the seed, and it's growing and growing and growing. So that's the idea of the connection between Bikurim and praying. So what does it mean for us now? What should we do? And who is standing now in front of Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is also a beginning. Reshit Hashanah. You cannot stand in front of God with nothing in your hands. How can I show God my greatest love? If I will give God, or let's say, I will think on God first before I do anything. Doesn't matter what it is. The same way as I wake up in the morning, what do I say? Modeh ani lefanecha. First of all, God. When you do this, that's mitzvah bikurim. That's bikurim. That's the idea. The first thing I give to God. Not to myself. I give it to God. Now, if I do this, God loves it. Especially Rosh Hashanah. If we show Kadosh Baruch Hu that we love Him, so we have to make sure that every time we do something, what do we do first? Think about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This minute, you changed everything. Because you're showing God that you care, that you love Him. And what is God going to do? He's going to show you His love. It's written here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry.
Turn also my telephone now.
Says in our parsha we have blessings and curses. Wow. But if we go with God, we have beautiful blessings. V'ayah im shamo atishma b'kol Hashem elokecha lishmor la'asot et kol mitzvotav asher anochi mitzvcha ayom. If you listen to God and keep the mitzvahs, unetancha Hashem elokecha elyon, God will put you on all the other nations. Ve'ba'u alecha kol habrachot, and all the blessings are going to come on you and will get you. כי תשמע בכל השם אלוקיך. ברוך אתה בעיר וברוך אתה בשדה. You're going to be blessed in town, be blessed in the field, be blessed when you go out, be blessed when you come back. Beautiful blessings. In other words, what we have to do is to listen to God. To do what God wants us to do. And when we come on Rosh Hashanah, okay, what do we do? There's Taryag Mitzvot, 613 mitzvahs. Can we keep all of them?
No.
Impossible. By the way, for a very simple reason.
No,
you are a Kohen. No. I am Israel. You are a man. She is a woman. This other guy got a field. You haven't got a field. One's got a roof, and you have to put a ma'akeh on the roof. But if you haven't got a roof, you don't have to. You haven't got this mitzvah. And if you go check, you will see, eventually, there's nobody who can keep all the mitzvahs. And you know what? Even the mitzvahs that I can keep, we all know that as human beings, we cannot do all of them. So what does it mean? What is God going to think of us? God knows exactly who we are. God wants us to do the first step, and God wants us to stand Rosh Hashanah with our mitzvah bikurim, with our bikurim, not empty-handed. In other words, we have to make some effort to show God that we love Him, and we understand what is the idea of Chodesh Elul, and we want to go into the new year with our right foot. So what do? Some people starting promising, but they cannot deliver. And here is a big question. What should I really do? You know, I know that I wasn't a righteous guy, that I had quite a few sins, and I want a good year from the God. Why is God going to listen to me? If I know exactly that all the promises I'm making today, in a very short while, I won't do anything. And we all know, we promised last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and what happened? Nothing. So somebody can think, if this is the case, so we are doomed. When you put a hole in dough, batzek, what happens to the hole?
In a batzek?
Yes, what happens?
Close.
Close. This is like our promises. You promise and close. Same thing. So what should we do? It says you have to, you need to put a hole with a drill into metal. Even if it's a small hole, is it going to stay?
Yes.
In other words, what God wants us is not promises in dough. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, and after finished, nothing. He wants you to drill one hole into the metal. Through what we say, duch and duch. And this hole is going to give you the entrance to the next year. It's like, I think I told you, it's like, imagine to yourself, you have a big hole, and you have 613 doors to go into this hole. If I open one of the doors and go in, am I in the hole?
Yes.
So the Kodesh Kodesh says, the year has got 613 doors. You want to go into the new year? What do you have to do? Open one door. One door and you're already there. Of course, if you can do more, Baruch Hashem. But you don't have to be afraid. Because if you only open, but really open one door and go in, you're in. You're in the new year. It's like I told you in the past, there are those people who collect things. Collectors, they call them. It's sick. Some of them, like, the really, there was a program on television a few years ago, and they showed all those people that collect things, and one of them was really collecting anything he saw on the street. And it came to a level that he couldn't go inside his house. And he had to go crawling to get to the toilet. Real story. And they did a special program, and they convinced him that they are going on their cost. They just want him to clean the house. They bought 4 or 5 lorries, trucks, in order to take out all the rubbish he had in. Now imagine to yourself, we are standing in front of the new year, and our house is
full of this,
full of dreck, full with junk, or, in other words, full with sins. So you look at it and says, "Boy, can I clean this house? I've got so much junk. I've got so many sins. How can I even start cleaning it? It's an impossible job."
So then he gives up.
Mm-hmm. Is he right?
No. Of course.
But he cannot clean all the house. What should
he
do?
But at least he realized that he has the old sins.
that he has all this junk in his home. Sometimes the people doesn't even realize.
So he realizes, so what?
So it's worse. Because if he realizes and he say, wow, what can I do? At least he has an intention. He saw.
Is the intention enough?
No, of course. Last year you thought about this. You have to do something.
Okay, exactly. So let's
clean a small place.
And what will happen then?
Then you can stay in this place, and you are in your house.
In other words, the entrance is full with junk. But if you clean at least the entrance, are you in? So what God is telling you, clean the entrance. Come to me at the gate of the year, but clean the gate so you can go in. If he's not even going to clean the gate, how would you go in?
No, he is there in the mess, but he doesn't realize that he has a mess in his environment.
You don't realize that you sinned?
There are people that not.
They're not connected. And if they're not connected, we don't speak of them. They have a different problem. First of all, let them connect. But we are connected.
Yes.
And we all know that we've got our peccala. The question is, what are we going to do about this peccala? You can tell yourself, okay, it's nothing I can do. But as we said, Chodesh Elul is the entrance to the year.
Yes.
And at that moment, God wants us to do the first step, and that's it. And we are in. In other words, I don't have to clean the whole house. I don't have to do tshuva on all the sins I did. I have, yes, but God now tells you, it's okay. I just want you to show me goodwill, but goodwill by itself, without action, is nothing. Promises, 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 so, or what? It's not enough to promise. You have to deliver. And that's exactly the idea of Rosh Hashanah. Now, people are sometimes very afraid of this period. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Slichas, and things. Some people feel very heavy with it. Oh, I have to go to Slichas, I have to go to do this, I have to go to...
They don't see that it's an opportunity.
They don't see the advantage. They don't realize that God is giving them the opportunity to change everything with nothing. Just though, show God some effort. Do something. Doesn't matter. Something. Do something in order to show God I'm fixing something. And the minute you do this, God is going to let you in the new year. And you know the idea behind it, you have to understand. Let's say, this guy, that all the house is dirty. Now you live in the dirt, you don't feel the dirt. It's like they have this story, I remember they had this group of students living in a flat, and this girl came to visit them, and the flat was dirty. The window was so dirty, they couldn't see anything out. So the girl took a sponge and cleaned up out of the window. And all the guys started shouting at her, "Stop!" She says, "Why stop? Look, I cannot see nothing yet, but now we see how dirty it is." You see, when you live in the dirt, you don't feel the dirt. You're used to it. But it's not like you go running and you're sweating. After you sweat and sweat and sweat, you don't feel the sweat. You go with it. But when you are clean and nice and you start sweating, you feel terrible. In other words, sometimes in order to understand that you live in the dirt, you have to clean something. So the idea behind it is clever. God wants you to do tshuva on everything. But God knows that it's impossible. Because first of all, for a very simple reason, you don't even realize how terrible your situation is, as you said. So what do? You let a little light go in to show him how dirty it is. And then he realizes. In other words, when I do some cleaning and I go in and say, oh, this is nice, How could I live in this dirt? So now you're in the entrance already, so what would you want to do? To clean a little more. I want to go into the living room. I want to sit on the sofa.
It's like always we used to say that when you decided, I need to paint my salon. Then you paint the salon, and I say, but the corridor is so dirty, I need to paint the corridor.
Exactly.
And then, no, I need to make a shiputz in my bed. Then it's so good that, you know.
Very good, and that's what shiputz. We call mitzvah goreret mitzvah. When you do one mitzvah, it leads you to another mitzvah. Unfortunately, it goes also the opposite. If you do one sin, it leads you to another sin. So what is God really telling you? Don't come to me and give me big promises. It's like this businessman. He came to the... He used to sell merchandise to the end user, and he used to buy it from a wholesaler. And he came to this wholesaler. He wanted to buy new merchandise. And also... And he makes this order, and the wholesaler looks in the book, says, 1 minute. You owe me for the last delivery. You took a lot of things and didn't pay. And you know what? I see that all a year ago also, and 2 years, you owe me a lot of money. How can I give you more? You don't pay. And this guy started crying. I know, I promise you I'm going to pay. I've got very difficult times, and if you won't give me a new merchandise, I won't have anything to sell, and my children won't have anything to eat, and who knows where it's going to lead. Please, I promise I'm going to pay. And he's starting crying, and you know, this guy, the Balabait, is feeling pity for him. So he says, you know what? Okay, I'll give you. But that minute, the workers that work with him says, Mapito, if you give him, we resign. We don't want to stay and work here because it's impossible. This guy owes you so much money. If you're starting to give up to everybody whatever he wants, you won't have any business. You cannot give this guy, who already owes you a lot of money, more. At that minute of the argument, a clever guy came in and says, what's the problem? He said, and told him the story. He says, I've got a solution. What does he want to take now? Let's say 500 boxes. Don't give him 500 boxes. Give him 5 boxes. 5 boxes, he will go, sell the 5 boxes, come back, pay, and take 10. And this way, slowly but surely, he will build this business again and pay you all the debt. Because now what's happening? If you won't give him anything, are you going to see what the debts that he owes you?
No.
No. Because he cannot pay you back because he's got nothing to sell. So if you're not going to give him anything, again, it's a vicious circle. From the other side, if you give him the quantity he wants, what's going to happen? He's going to do the same he did last time. He's going to lose the money again and do whatever he does. He's doing something wrong. And you won't see not the money owes you, not the money of the thought. So, how do you get out of it? He says, no problem. Step by step. First of all, give him something small. And that's exactly the same way with the Kodesh Baruch. We owe the Kodesh Baruch millions. And we come every year, Kodesh Baruch Hu, give us a house, give us a car, give us parnoser, give us food, give. God is going, one, I gave you last year, I gave you 2 years ago. What did you do with it? You sinned. You didn't pay me nothing. You owe me. And you want me to give you again?
But how I pay?
Oh, so what do? You come to God, you ask for forgiveness, of course. And you tell God, you know what? I cannot pay all my debts. But I'm going to pay you little by little. I'm going to promise you that from this day on, I take on myself, for example, when I go out from the toilet, I do Birkat Asher Yatzar standing or in Kavanah. Just you take a glass. Did you see how people do the blessing on the water or something? Did he listen to what he said? Did you hear what he said? Did you understand what he said? No. Because he did it because he's used to do it. But there was no kavana here. So let's say you tell God, you know, from this day on, whenever I take something to drink, I say the blessing and understand the meaning with kavana. Baruch ata Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, she'akol niya bitvaro. Is this difficult? No. But this is going to bring you into the new year. And when you do this, it leads you to another thing. That's why always I say, a few years ago I was talking about the promises we promise and everything, and this girl got up and said, I'm not promising anything anymore, I gave up. Says why? I said why? Says every year I promise, and after Yom Kippur, I go back to what? So I'm not going to be a liar and lie to God. And there is a certain truth in it. She goes, she knows. You know, I promised last year, 2 years, 3 years, I couldn't keep it. So why do I play games? I'm going to tell God something that I cannot do. I'm going to promise Him promises and there is nothing behind it. It's terrible. It's worse than promising and I don't better off. I won't promise. And, you know, there is a point in what she's saying. So then I explained to her. You see, the idea is, God is giving you a chance. And if you don't use it, something is wrong with you. He said, look, there is an amazing story in the Gemara, I think in the Midrash, that it took me years to understand what they wanted to tell me. There was few people captured by the king. They sinned, did a certain thing, and they were in jail. And one of them succeeded to make a hole. And all of them ran away, escaped. And one guy stayed. The king came and saw the hole, and everybody running, and the guy stayed. He says, I'm going to execute you. Instead of chasing those who run away and execute them, kill them, you want to kill me that I stayed in? He says yes.
Why?
It's too good. I think I understand that jail is too good for you. It's not a punishment. Because if it was a punishment and it was bad, what would you do?
Right.
Run with the others. And I know it took me years to understand what is behind this story. And then I realized, God is telling us, if you standing in front of a trial and you're promising promises and you don't keep them, what is better? Not to promise anything, stand in front of God, and as we say, okay, I sinned, I'm here. Or to try and escape. Because God, 1 minute, what? You sinned and you don't care, you don't want to. I'm giving you an escape. I'm giving you a hole. There is a hole, you can go out. You're not going out? What does it mean?
That you are happy with
that. You're happy with your situation. And if you're happy with the situation, look, I'll show you till you won't be happy with the situation. Because this is not the idea. I didn't put you here that you will be happy. I put you here to do something. And if you sinned and you got punished and you still stay in the same situation, what did we do? Omei, nothing.